Eyes rarely looked up from the task in hand. Fingers clutched onto scissors to ensure accuracy as they were moved carefully around the pictures on the card. And space on the table was certainly at a premium, as discarded pieces of card mixed with those that would form and be part of the finished product. My class of 5-year-olds are currently working on and learning about ourselves. And as part of learning about the different parts of the body, the children made a person using split pins to hold the different parts together. Here's one I made earlier, minus the split pins. Picture the scene. A table of 6 or 7 young children, each with 3 pieces of A4 card, from which the different body parts needed to be cut out. Sometime later, the cut out body parts, lots of waste bits of card, and just slight chaos. For the intense concentration, the careful cutting out, and even the naming of each piece after it was cut out, could not stop the fact that some of those smaller and not so small parts got lost in the pieces to be discarded. And didn't the tears fall when some children's works of art were missing a foot or a hand or even a head? Because the whole, so to speak, was not complete. You'll be glad to know that children's despair turned into teacher concern, and the missing parts were replaced. The writers of Nehemiah and Corinthians certainly didn't have the cutting skills of 5-year-olds on their minds when they wrote the passages we have heard read today. But despair, concern, hope, and wholeness certainly feature in both of the passages. The Old Testament reading takes us back to the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, when the exiles returned to Jerusalem. Ezra and Nehemiah were different individuals with different roles. Ezra was a scribe, Nehemiah was a governor. Ezra was known for rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, and Nehemiah was known for rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Together, they made a powerful partnership. In today's reading, the scribe Ezra begins reading out loud from the book of the Torah law, the Pentateuch, to all the people who were assembled within the completed walls of Jerusalem. They were finally back in Jerusalem, back from being in exile. They were back home. But as the Torah was read, their initial responses were of guilt and regret at having fallen short of the law, and they fell down to the ground in despair. Fortunately, their leaders encouraged them to look forward and not back, to celebrate their return and celebrate the unchangeable fact that they would always be God's chosen people. This reading is their story, and rejoicing in God, they celebrated their unity. And so our reading from Corinthians, which I'd like to focus on today. A despairing Paul, full of concern for the people of Corinth, addressing the theme of unity amongst the early Christians. Claims regarding different spiritual gifts had begun to lead to divisions and disunity in the Corinthian church, as jealousy and prejudice became rife. And this was a potentially very destructive scenario for the fledgling early church. So in comes Paul, more than likely cross, with some very clear counsel that they're boasting about the spiritual gifts they claim to have received, and using these to gain higher regard and status within the Christian community was unacceptable. And so he demanded a different standard from the people there. Paul did not deny that there are differences of gifts and functions, but he strongly encouraged the Corinthians to focus on the unity which stood behind them all, God's Spirit. Furthermore, he stressed that that Spirit made possible the baptism of all believers into one body, and that if all were part of the same body, then they should be equally regarded, and no prejudice of nationality or status should have got in the way. One body, with its many parts, all of which need each other, and all of which are vital for the life of the Christian community. The story goes of an old monastery that had fallen upon hard times. Centuries earlier, it had been a thriving place where many monks lived and worked. But now, there were only 5 monks who lived there. Clearly, it was a dying order. Near to the monastery lived a hermit who many thought of as a prophet. Agonizing over the state of the order, the monks decided to give the hermit a visit. He welcomed them, but only commiserated with them. "Is there anything you can tell us that could save our monastery?" the abbot inquired of the hermit. The response was not very positive, but the hermit did say, "I can tell you that one of you is an apostle of God." Disappointed, the monks returned to the monastery and spent the following few months pondering over the hermit's words, wondering if he actually meant that one of the monks at the monastery was an apostle of God. Their conversation went like this. "Do you suppose he meant the abbot?" "Yes, if he meant anyone, he probably meant the abbot. He's been our leader for many years." "On the other hand, he might have meant Brother Thomas. He's a holy man, a man full of wisdom." "He couldn't have meant Brother Eldred, because he's difficult to reason with. On the other hand, he's almost always right." "Surely not Brother Philip. He's so passive and shy and quiet. Still, he's always there when you need him. He's loyal and trustworthy." As they contemplated in this manner, the old monks began to treat each other with extraordinary respect on the off chance that one of them might actually be an apostle of God. Now, because the monastery was situated in a beautiful forest, many people went to picnic there, and now and then some would go into the monks' chapel. As they did so, they sensed the aura of respect that now began to surround the monks. And as the days passed by, more people went to visit, and after a while, one asked if he could join the order of monks. Then another, and then another, until, thanks to the hermit's wisdom, the monastery became a vibrant place again. One body, made up of many different parts, with each monk having good and perhaps not so good characteristics, but all being apostles of God. Just as Paul challenged the Corinthians, so too should we be challenged. Challenged to see ourselves as a church which is the embodiment of Christ in the world. One body, made up of many different parts, not all with the same attributes, not all with the same abilities, but united and held together by a common life in Christ, in which our sense of identity lies not in the role we play, nor the status we have, nor the reward our role brings, but in the sense of who we are in Christ. The way forward for both Nehemiah and the Corinthians was to listen out for and hear the voices of hope and unity which would guide the path to the future. May we do the same, keeping ever before our eyes the Saviour who loved everyone, regardless of their views, religious practices, cleanness or uncleanness, race or gender. May we think long and hard about the centrality of working in God's name, and may we accept and continue to accept the challenging call to be part of the body of Christ today, tomorrow, and into eternity. I'd like to finish with a meditation by a lady called Michaela Youngson called I Can't I? To coin today's vernacular, I want to be spectacular. Ordinary is not enough. The everyday just seems too rough. I want to walk across a lake, see off a nasty, slimy snake, to raise the dead up from their bed. All this before the world's awake. I long to do amazing things, miraculously grow some wings, cure cancer, heart disease, TB, end infant death and poverty. I need to use God's gift for good, bring peace into my neighbourhood, unite the nations, resist temptations, ensure religions understood. I know deep down I'm not cut out for noble prizes, and I doubt that my deeds will save the earth. Have my attempts so little worth? Perhaps alone I'll not succeed in getting every prisoner freed, fair trade winning, conflict binning, banning GM supersedes. Are these your hopes, your fears, your dreams? Work with me on these hopeless schemes. One body, joined, we'll get things done. Dance with the Father, Spirit, Son. All things wrought in creation's birth will move in rhythm with the earth. There's only one thing left to tell, that in God's love all shall be well. Amen.